The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Excellent. And Ed is back in the studio. Ed, how are you?
Do you know, this feels very good for a Wednesday afternoon. Oh, I feel as if I've found, you know, found where I should be again.
Bit of karma, that's the whole thing. Amazingly enough, we've got a lovely little treat that Cameron and his team have actually provided, courtesy of Lo-Fi.
Hey, y'all, this is Lo-Fi.
And you're listening to Siren 107.3 FM.
Yeah, isn't that great? You know, that wonderful. That was because they were so impressed with us playing their particular tune, which we probably will play again, actually. Maybe even this very day, Cameron. Amazing. In fact, I might actually just slot it into the sort of 6:20 slot. Well, we'll see, but we'll see what happens. That's Lo-Fi. Cameron Tilbury, welcome to the production. How are you?
Well, we just got back from Texas on Monday night, and so we're kind of back in the swing of things.
And as you said on Facebook, it's Radio Day. Join me today on my Live from Nashville radio segment on Siren 107.3 FM in Lincoln, England. Always important because, as Ed regularly knows, it could be Nebraska. And we don't do traffic news for Nebraska. Actually, the Midweek Drive doesn't really do traffic news for England. But, you know, what the hey? It might happen if there's an emergency out there. I mean, just driving around North Highcombe. Actually, that's a bit of a misnomer. You can't really drive around North Highcombe. You just can't get there these days. They just closed the road off. So who knows what could be happening. Could be going on for 6 or 7 weeks as well. Anyway, that's just me venting, I think, Cameron. Anyway, you have got another top treat. And Ed, of course, wearing his musicology hat, will be able to tell us exactly which key this is based in. It's a bit of a time-travelling moment, but share with us, why have we actually gone for J.K.N., James Keith Norman?
Well, a few reasons. James Keith Norman and I actually go back probably, about 20 years. Jim runs an ad agency in Toronto. He does music on the side. And I was looking to get a job at an ad agency way back when, and had talked to him, and we've remained friends over the years. And he came to me with his brand new album called That's Right and said, can you work it for me? So that's what we're doing. And the first single came out a while ago. This is the second single from the album that we've been working with a few weeks now. And it's doing very well all around the world. The album is called That's Right. The song is called Back in the Day. This is James Keith Norman on Siren FM.
When I was a boy down by the creek, back in the day, back in the day.
Now, you see, if we had the webcam on, and if you were sort of sharing us with the studio, maybe just in the mind's eye, you might have actually decided to say, or not. No, Works For Me was what we were actually looking for from that little perspective, because we were actually looking at the theme to a TV series called Hunter. And we thought, well, actually, that might be even more wonderful than what we were actually listening to. But, you know, as indeed Fred Dreyer might have said... Oh, was that effect?
Yeah,
anyway,
Fred Dreyer was a great football player. He used to play for at the time it was the LA Rams, and he had huge hands. He was a wide receiver.
Still had huge hands. In case you're wondering, what we're actually looking for is
Works For Me.
Thank you. Yeah, you see, that's the key thing. It's the end of every... I mean, Ed, you're probably too young to remember the original series, but we're looking at the whole system there. I mean, part of course, Stephen J. Cannell's wonderful oeuvre, and we were chatting last week with Arthur Weingarten, and obviously Arthur's connection with Murder, She Wrote, and so on. And that sort of... Those three words, which we can sort of wrap up so much on Siren with...
Works For Me.
Yeah.
So this was Hunter. It does strike some sort of familiarity. Maybe I'll have to borrow your DVD of it, I think.
There you are. I've already put in the order for all 7 seasons. It's wonderful, yeah. I take my support for TV sort of focus. Stephanie Kramer will be joining us in the second hour of the programme. Fantastic actress. And indeed someone who I believe, Cameron, you were quite fond of.
Yeah, I think I probably had the hots for her back in the day.
Back to James Keith Norman again.
There we go.
It's fabulous, you see. And I suppose looking as you do like David Soul, you might have obviously sort of been, when Stephanie actually started Starsky & Hutch, could have connected in every sense of the
world. I don't know where people get that from. I've had that a bunch of times, saying I look like David Soul, and I don't. I don't know, because I'm blonde, I guess. That's where...
I think there's a David Soul element to your... But anyway, enough of such fun stuff. What key was that in, Edward?
Well, if I talk about the music whilst you find it again, because I'd like to listen to the
really?
First two or three
You'd
seconds
You'd like to hear
again.
The first sort of so sequence of that.
Unusually, Cameron, this one was in the key of F, whereas normally you serve us up in E major or G sharp. So, but what I loved about it was the texture, the kind of sandwich filling on the guitar, just like this.
Nice sandwich filling.
That movement in the middle there.
I like the sandwich filling as well, Cameron. Good stuff on that basis. I liked it so much. We're going to go into Vintage Heart in a few seconds because I just thought these guys were just tremendous. So marks out of 10, Ed?
A healthy 9.
A healthy 9 for James Keith Norman back in the day. I think I'll echo that. So great stuff from that. What does the rest of the day have in store for yourself, Cameron? Because we live in the moment now. It is coming up to 10.5 minutes past 5 o'clock. Time check. That's now in the UK. So what are you doing in Nashville now?
Well, really just kind of catching up from a few days away. Like I say, we were down in Texas, and one of the reasons we were down there was to meet up with a girl who is now she was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa, and so she's losing her sight. Her mom is an old high school friend of Joe Leah's, and they're doing a big benefit in October, so we'll be back down there in October. Joe Leah's going to be singing and all sorts of stuff going on. But we were down there to meet with her and kind of get some publicity stuff. So we'll be working on that. We're checking on our artists. So busy day today.
Well, if we can help in any way, shape or form from our international perspective, we will do so, won't we, Ed?
Absolutely.
Positive stuff there. So, very surprised with this little bonus sequence that you provided for us, thanks to those wonderful people at Lo-Fi. Not Hi-Fi, Lo-Fi. Very
Lo-fi.
Good. Yeah. In fact, I think it could set up a whole new routine where you could ask the artists to do their very own jingle and idents and thank yous, etc. It's very good. It makes sound just a little bit extra when we sort of get people thanking. I was particularly moved with this one.
Hey, Alex, it's Joe West and Jamie Teacher from the band Lo-Fi.
And we just want to take a moment to thank you so much for playing our new single, Vintage Heart. Really means a lot to us.
Thanks, man. See you soon.
I mean, isn't that just... I mean, that's just the special relationship, isn't it, Ed?
There's something about hearing somebody say your name on the radio.
Well, exactly. If you'd like us to say your name on the radio, call us at studio at sirenonline.co.uk.
Cameron. I said it 3 times.
Echoing in so many wonderful ways. Anna Lewis from Jersey will be up very shortly. But the reason we obviously got that thank you message to lead into the Siren Ident was Vintage Heart. Cameron, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us?
Yes, I have. It's been fun.
And are you back again next week?
I'll be back.
Hey, y'all, this is Lo-Fi.
And you're listening to Siren 107.3 FM.
Vintage Heart, Lo-Fi featuring Vince Gill there. And, of course, we'll play Vince Gill's fantastic tune again in the not-too-distant future. Probably even tomorrow. OK, we've got one or two little challenges with respect to Anna Lewis and Jersey. Well, Anna's got one or two challenges. She'll tell us all about them next week. Gabriella Peralta is listening online in Gibraltar. Hooray! The question is, of course, can we actually reach her successfully? Because certainly the number which we dialed doesn't seem to be connecting. On the other hand, the magical thing has come through. So hopefully, if we actually press this button here, we'll say Gabriella Peralta from Gibraltar. Are you actually here?
I am here.
Hey! See, marvellous stuff. I was very pleased last week when watching the opening ceremony to the Commonwealth Games. I was going to mention this to Anna Lewis as well, to see not only the island of Jersey represented, but striding into the stadium positively and wonderfully, we also had the fine folk from Gibraltar. Gibraltarians, part of the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, we're everywhere. I think we always join the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, well, that's because you're part of the Commonwealth.
Yeah, we are. So we're everywhere. Wherever we can put ourselves, we go there.
Ed, there's some very exciting news about Gabriella Peralta, the girl from Gibraltar, our regular midweek drivette. Would you like to know what that exciting news is?
Can I guess it, possibly?
Well, what do you think, Gabriella? Should he try and guess the news?
Yeah, guess it.
Guess the news, Gabriella. Guess the news, Ed.
Okay, so in the, yeah, just, I'm he, and I'm Ed, and yeah.
Ed is he who is speaking. He is at present.
It is me.
It's good we actually had the rehearsal, Ed.
It is in all those hours. I'm guessing, Gabriella, you're coming back to Lincoln.
No.
Oh, no, that's why you're celebrating. I see now.
Someday, Ed, I haven't given up hope of us doing the location report in Gibraltar.
You know, indeed.
We don't let our midweek drivettes just sort of escape from that point.
Echo come onto your microphone.
Have you noticed?
I have.
Yeah. So you see, the echo is obviously, for some bizarre reason, coming through the phone system. Ah. So I can delete the echo, or I can actually have lots of echo coming through on that basis, though, which is curious. So it's called riding the fader for any sort of technical geeky folk out there who say, ooh, what's he doing now? Well, if I do that, you can sort of get that lovely echo, sort of. It's almost as I'm actually announcing to the people of Gibraltar that they are actually live on Midweek Drive with their very own Gabriella Peralta. But
share with us, Gabriella, then, the reason.
I am now a reporter for GBC News, which is Gibraltar's very own news channel.
Very good. Is that in vision or in sound or both?
I'm just a television. Well, it's a broadcast job, so really my role will depend on television or radio, depending on the day, really.
That's very good. Congratulations.
It's rich. Congratulations. And just
isn't
what
it?
She would anticipate sort of securing. So, yes, GBC News has a new star. It is Gabriella Peralta. It's quite literally GP on GBC.
Yeah, very well. Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Well, that, Gabriella, is why you still need to be part of the midweek drive, so we can feed in those little nuggets of information to ensure that the quality is maintained and that before long you'll be running GBC.
Yeah, well, I just got the job there.
Yeah, that's where it starts. That's where it starts. Look, you know, there's heaps of cases of people who just happen to be in the job and then before they know it, they're actually running the place. Just go for it and smile sweetly. Positive attitude, very important.
So it'll be my plan. First that, then world domination.
So tell me about some of your first assignments then, Gabriella. Any idea what they're going to be?
I start on Friday.
And so what's in the news that you think you might be following up?
We're not really having that much problem with Spain right now. To be honest, it is summer, so it's kind of slow. There is something called Occupy Gibraltar on 29th of August, which the Spanish are going to protest. I'm going to try and make it through the border into Gibraltar to just be a bit annoying, some might say. Going on, it's very quiet because it is summer. We're basically, our biggest news is probably that we're building some houses. The queues aren't as bad as they were before. They're still there, but they're also thinking of doing a pass for Spanish workers. So that would mean now, instead of waiting hours in the queue, the Spanish workers will be able to cut the queue and go through the declare, like, red channel that we have on the border.
So I remember, Gabriella, that your video from your journalism studies here at Lincoln was in the showcase of the best of
LSJ. Very impressive.
LSJ.
And very, very impressive.
You did it on the queues there, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And they're still going on. They're not as bad as they were last year, but they are now trying to do the whole trying to get the workers through quickly, but we are saying that's kind of discrimination because you can't let all the Spanish workers through and not the Gibraltarian workers through.
And this is why we know you're the right person for the job. You've got your finger on the pulse, my girl.
Which is what we've always said, very important from that side of things. So great news there. So have you missed Lincoln at all, Gabriella? Or is it a case of, I did it for my thing and just went from there?
I have missed it, but I feel it's going to hit me come around October. I feel like when everyone starts going back, I want all my friends to leave back to university, I'll be here. I feel, because right now I'm kind of on the summer break high. I'm kind of just like, yeah, I'm going to the beach. Yeah, it's great, it's fun now. But we'll see when I actually have to start work.
Gabriella, little tip, life is always fun as long as you actually see the goodness in it. That's quite emotional, that, really, in many ways. Obviously, I'm psyching myself up for Stephanie Kramer, who's joining us in the next part of the production. Tara Bennett is with us from SFX Magazine, West Coast editor, of course. We've looked at some of the stories that are taking place in Gibraltar. General answer, not a great deal, but that's okay. Everything's there. Story, you can do human interest stories.
But only 3 miles long. There's only so we can't have a big summer like last year.
But then again, happy panda or sad panda? Which way are you going to go?
I'm a happier panda this year.
There you are, you see. A happier panda, which is always important for
I'm always a happy panda.
Always a happy panda. You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM. It's the Midweek Drive. Actually, it's the Midweek Drive plus, of course, 1073 Drive. Is that the official branding we have these
1073
days?
1073 Drive.
1073.
So this becomes 1073 Midweek Drive.
Midweek Drive.
To be precise.
Well, I always like to ensure that I give some sort of corporate acknowledgement, yeah. So there we are. 1073 Midweek Drive.
That's it. We'll practice that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get used to that one.
Yeah, don't worry, Gabrielle. I mean, for yourself, you can call it whatever. Call it sort of the Wednesday show if you wish. Other shows are available, clearly. That's the important thing. So you've been listening to the show. I mean, have you been listening? Because we've missed not hearing from you. I mean, you can always do what Samantha Sheldon does, what Penny Evans does, etc. Send in comments and quotes. Or have you decided, I can't be bothered?
I was going to send one before the interview today, but I was just like, I don't know what to write. So I was just like, oh, I don't know. I'll eventually send one, I think.
Not good for a journalist, like, don't know what to write, basically. Staring at the screen, suffering from just whatever. I mean, heaps of other good things coming through, including, as we mentioned, Tara Bennett. And Phil Leonis, of course, will be up from Los Angeles very shortly. We were going to be talking, and we will be talking about the police show and hard-boiled detective genres. Are you a fan of police procedural shows? I'm thinking things like CSI, I'm thinking the excitement of NCIS, or is it a case of, no, in Gibraltar there is no crime, so we're not interested in police, whatever.
I don't like crime shows just because I feel like they scare me.
why are you scared by crime shows, Gabriella?
I don't like it. I don't like to think about how the psychopaths and all the rest of them, all the criminal minds. I have friends that love them. I have friends that actually love them. They watch them all the time. But for me, I'm just like, I'd rather not know how I can be killed in 2 seconds by some random stranger coming to my house. I'd rather not think of it.
It's unlikely to happen in case people are actually worried about that at this particular moment in time. But, you know, it's obviously there. I mean, there are certain parts of Oxfordshire where, thanks to Inspector Morse, you would have thought it'd be a carnage, massacre taking place, you know, week in, week out. But no, I mean, obviously, Gabriella, you needed Special Agent Dee Dee McCall to actually assist with the whole thing. We'll find out about Dee Dee McCall in the second part of the programme. It's very exciting. There are people, of course, Ed, who I'm sure will hear us talk about Hunter. They won't have a clue what we're saying. You know, they'll be just part of TV history. Google it. Use search engines. Go on YouTube. You can see all sorts of things. You could do that with your smartphone as we speak, Gabriella.
I think you're talking to me. Yeah. I'm already on mine, looking at Twitter, you see.
Yeah, exactly.
Keeping it Lincoln.
Keeping it real. Keeping it sorted through. So what message would you like to share with your British fans, Gabriella? And I'm thinking of Brian, obviously, here.
With my British fans. About Gibraltar?
About yourself? About anything you want to say?
I don't know, I've always enjoyed being British. I think that's a good message.
Very good. She's always enjoyed being British, and that's one of the reasons why...
We're very proud of it over here. Very, very patriotic. There's always... I've got 2 British flags in my house, and I'll be hanging them out when National Day comes September 10th. They'll be on full display outside my balcony.
Well...
wafting in the air.
It's truly wonderful. Clearly...
Well, the whole water actually gets covered in British flags throughout.
And that's the reason why we're so delighted you took part in the Commonwealth Games. Have you been seeing or watching the Commonwealth Games, or is it a case of, no, it's unlikely that Gibraltar are going to win anything, but one day...
Yeah, that's the problem we have. We're so small that we're just like, are we going to win?
I'm not going to have that, my girl, because you are going head-to-head with Scotland in the European Championship qualifying matches. You know, you've got a football team there. Gibraltar had the first ever win of the football side this year. I forget who you beat. I think it was Luxembourg, but you did have your first ever international win.
Yeah, big news. We also are playing against Germany soon. Yeah. That was our Gibraltar national football team's going to be playing against them soon.
Easy peasy.
I don't know how much of a chance we'll have, but we'll play.
Simply, look at the World Cup. Germany 7, Brazil 1.
Yeah,
Gibraltar, no worries whatsoever.
I'm sure we'll just win. I'm sure it'll be great.
And you will.
We'll play them in the next couple of months, so that's something to enjoy. We'll hopefully not get as bad as a bashing as... previous people, but
As bad a bashing. You are GBC News' star reporter, Gabriella. You've got to actually sort of, you coined the phrase war. This is important, as bad a bashing. Mind you, it was tabloid, I suppose. We'll work on that basis. Gabriella, I'm going to ask Ed to throw those last two questions at you. Now, Ed, would you like these questions with echo or without echo?
I'll have them. Well, I'm going to try and get them with the right words first and foremost.
Do you want a bit of echo?
You know, whilst over the last few months I've not been
people
in,
of Gibraltar,
in
Ed
the
Wellman
room.
Is about to speak.
I've heard some people on this programme make a real hash of these questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link on the show today?
Yes, I have. And you did that very well.
I thought I did, actually. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We do miss you, but can we connect with you again soon?
Of course. Whenever, just message me whenever you want.
Our pleasure.
I'm always here.
Rhetorical questions abound. Who can it be now? Well, only the fabulous, amazing West Coast editor for SFX magazine. You want some TLC? No, you want TLB. It's Tara Bennett. How are you, Tara?
Oh, and thank you so much for having me. I'm lovely. Thank you.
Always a fantastic joy to actually welcome you to the whole system. Of course, Tara DeLulu-Bennett, TDB, as opposed to TLC. But it's a three-letter acronym that works in every sense of the word. So, the Parsec episode that goes out on Sunday, I believe, Ed, on Siren 107.3, Parsec Volume 6.
At 11 a.m.
Features a bit of time travelling because it features Richard Edwards, deputy editor of SFX magazine, at the start of the San Diego Comic Con and at the end of it. It's amazing. It's, the things we can actually do. Now, Tara, as West Coast correspondent, did you manage to get to the San Diego Comic Con yourself?
I did, and I was in the time warp of actually seeing Rich Edwards, which is always wonderful. And yes, we both traversed, and a couple more of my SFX brethren traversed the crazy pop culture-ness and got to see and do and hear and smell. Crazy stuff.
Well, it is that. I mean, Richard, I won't spoil the interviews with various other bits and pieces, but I did think that wearing glasses, he could easily be mistaken for a superhero, particularly if he stepped into a telephone booth. It's just a thought. You know.
He's completely a superhero.
This is true.
Absolutely a superhero.
We'll make sure that sort of is passed through. It should certainly ensure that his career will carry on in leaps and bounds, quite literally. But he kind of felt, we sort of discussed the matter some length, really, that now having a chance to just reflect on comic Con 2014, although it was nice to actually see Marvel shipping most of the Avengers cast over, with the exception of Scarlett Johansson and a couple of other folk, etc., and although there were some exciting things about the developments that are actually installed there, ultimately DC possibly stole the show, given that they brought Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck and, of course, Gal Gadot to the table. Or was it just a case of, it was still magical?
You know, I think it was pretty good for DC to finally kind of come to the game with what they've got, because, as you said, Marvel has been there every year. They've brought out their Avengers. They've, introduced when they've had new lineups like Guardians last year, and this year was Paul Rudd with Ant-Man and Evangeline Lilly. And so I think it was really nice for DC to kind of assemble, their Justice League.
Nice phrase there. Kind of assemble their Justice League.
Yeah.
See what you did there.
I think that it's smart for them to kind of like really kind of bring it now. Yeah, and I think that it did get a lot. It got a lot of heat from that very very happy audience. And it's I know I was looking forward to seeing what they were going to do with Wonder Woman and just also to see those two guys in the same place together, which is fun.
And really wasn't a great deal of opportunity for Burt Ward and Adam West, of course, who reprised their roles as the 1960s Batman and Robin, it's being released on DVD shortly. Fantastic. But I think it's fair to say that they couldn't really necessarily get a cameo in the movie now. It would be a different sort of system we'd work for, really.
I think so. Tone-wise, funny for what DC's trying to do. But it would be fun, even if they made him, kind of serious or just even a visual cameo of either of them, I think people would blow their heads would blow up if they saw.
Well, this is true. I mean, personally, Tara, I see you either as the Huntress or Black Canary. I see you either of those two lines. I think that would be very good.
Thank you, sir. I will take either. No, I'll practice now.
But meanwhile, we look at Tune In True Believers from the current edition of SFX magazine, which has a choice of 5 different Doctor Who flavoured covers. And the best article, of course, we run with excitement to pages 58, 59, 57 and 56 to see the joys of the Tara Bennett article on Agent Carter with, of course, Hayley Atwell and, of course, Trouble at S.H.I.E.L.D. So, I mean, thankfully, the S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series was actually renewed. It would have been very embarrassing if they canned it.
God, you know, exactly. Yeah. And it was looking a little scary there by mid-season, but they finally pulled it together when Winter Soldier came out. Yes.
Absolutely. Phil Lynas, our ace director from Los Angeles, again, he was fretting. He thought, you know, is it going to happen? Is it going to be a case of, is it going to work in all sorts of ways? But it's all part and parcel of the continuing domination of superheroes and the fantastic and the wish fulfillment on the silver screen and the small screen.
Yeah, it's a huge... just huge this year. I mean, that's part of the feature that I did with SFX was, of course, you know, talking about how S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to, you know, evolve for the second year. Definitely how Agent Carter, which, you know, if you're a fan of the Marvel Universe and especially the Captain America mythology, that there was a DVD short with featuring that character. And then, of course, if you watch the Winter Soldier this year, you understand that she was very important with the formation of S.H.I.E.L.D. So going back, that's what the series will be. But then we've also got Gotham, which is DC's push to kind of the origin story of Batman and the whole origin of a lot of the villains in the Gotham world. And then we've also got the comic book iZombie, which is a Vertigo title that's actually going to be a mid-season series about a woman that gets turned into a zombie, kind of like Warm Bodies, if anybody saw that movie. We're adding kind of humanity to the zombie situation, so less Walking Dead and more, you know, kind of funny and maybe even a little rom-commy. So, yeah, the whole comic book and superhero kind of push is just, it's not stopping. It's just getting bigger and bigger.
I'll let you in on a little secret here, yourself and the listener, actually, Tara, because yesterday I decided to treat myself, having sort of wrapped up another little module report for the academic within the University of Lincoln and so on, and I was undecided. But in the end, although Warm Bodies was definitely in there, I elected to actually put Warm Bodies to one side in the DVD and instead went for All Quiet on the Western Front and Winnie the Pooh. I know it's a tough call, but, you know, I figured...
Oh, my God, yeah. I have whiplash just from those two choices. Oh, my God, how did they go?
Well, you know, I figured it was one of those areas where I thought, well, obviously All Quiet on the Western Front, a classic 1930s, a great war, World War I piece,
yes,
that sort of focuses on that, a heart-rending sort of final scene. But I felt to offset that, I needed to have a bit of Winnie the Pooh and Disney action just to sort of take that through. So, you know,
it makes a tremendous amount of sense now. You kind of have a warm poo hug at the end of that movie.
Exactly.
I respect. Good call.
Exactly. You see, it's not just a case of the wonderful thing about presenters is they're wonderful things and they're the only one, etc., but it's a case you got that balance working through the whole thing.
Nice.
In
perfect.
Fact, I'd be very tempted to actually write to Vladimir Putin and say, has he considered watching some Winnie the Pooh to balance out the sort of Chechen suit routine? I think it could work.
I think you've just figured out world peace. Oh, my God. You are brilliant today. You are on.
Tara, we do try. Ed Wellman is in the house and eagerly working through SFX magazine now. Ed, I have promised I will be introducing him to Worldcon. Yes, that's the World Science Fiction Convention between the 14th and 18th of August, which is, we're all very exciting again working on that basis. Ed, we're gradually weaning because he's a music specialist and he's also MA in Community Radio, a graduate and various other bits and pieces. But I think, Ed, it's fair to say we're gradually working you into the science fiction.
Well, do you know, it's almost 2 years to the day, I think, since I first sat in this studio. Oh. And I'm not much the wiser, but I'm getting there.
Yeah.
And, you know, little quotes in the magazine, for example, page 58.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who has seen Hayley in action knows that she can do it all. She can break your heart and break your leg.
I thought they were talking about Tara, actually. I really thought that was the Tara quote.
I might be able to do the same.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. In fact, that's probably where Hayley Atwell learned her entire sort of incarnation of Agent Carter and Peggy Carter from S.H.I.E.L.D., really. She's been very important. Stop. Life continues. And in terms of the sort of sequence that we've got there, I mean, it does seem as though once again we're having a little renaissance. Tomorrow morning, of course, on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, Richard Fitzwilliams will be sharing with us his views on the latest epic, which is Guardians of the Galaxy. And I think it's fair to say it's two thumbs up. So great news as far as that's actually concerned. I mean, you know, that was one of the properties that perhaps when people were considering the Marvel Universe, they weren't really as well known, let's be honest, as even Iron Man and Hulk and certainly these sort of other areas. But it does seem to have worked, which again shows the quality that's actually there in having a good storyline and a good narrative.
And they did a really great job, and that was my biggest concern too. It's such an obscure title. You have to be a really hardcore comic book reader to really have even known that title. Mm. But they've done a really tremendous job throughout, from last Comic-Con when they introduced the full cast to that whole year of just rolling out clips and getting, you know, really good pointed clips that get people excited with the humor of it, really strong trailers, and it's really kind of been a masterclass in really how do you introduce an unbranded, brand new kind of series of superheroes and get people excited about it. And you know, you keep thinking Marvel's going to misstep and screw something up, and they just haven't done it yet. They're going to be our overlords. You know, by next year, we're all going to have big M's on our foreheads, and we'll all, you know, be bending down and looking towards the Marvel Universe. And thank you, because they're getting it right, and they're just not showing any signs of stopping.
I mean, Tara, I think possibly the West Coast Sun might be affecting you on that basis. I'm not sure we quite go down that route.
It starts here, obviously, right? You can hear it's working really strongly with me.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would possibly say is, what's not to love when you've got a movie with Rocket Raccoon in? I mean, you know, the Rocket Raccoon, Ed. Rocket Raccoon and you know, fantastic. What can you say?
I already have a mini Sold. Rocket Raccoon above me on my desk.
You've so got, you go, on your desk, you've got a Rocket Raccoon. It's fantastic.
I do. I've bought into it already. It's sad, but true. There I am.
Well, it's important. So going back to the San Diego Comic-Con again, let's just put a bit of the flesh on the bones here. We had it on National BBC Radio 2, of course, on Monday, and there was great excitement there when people were talking about the whole thing. It's kind of become more than just a comic convention. It's become an expo for contemporary Hollywood in many ways.
Yeah, it's, you know, what the good thing about it is that it can be kind of overwhelming. When you get there, you think, oh my gosh, there's, you know, big halls where you can see things like, you know, big movie presentations. But then there's also small rooms where you can literally talk about, you know, I was just reading an article today about what's the definition of steampunk. So talk about getting niche. So you don't have to go and just see the big things and wait in big lines, which is where the lore and the kind of most complaining is. You can literally go and meet comic book creators, authors, writers, companies, figure out if I want to become a voiceover artist, how would I go about doing that? I'm a writer. How do I get my foot in the door? It's really kind of like a pop culture symposium now, and you can just go and just be entertained and watch big presentations, but you can also go and learn a whole lot if you want to go into the creative community, and I think that's the thing that some people miss and is one of the greatest things about Comic-Con.
Exactly. With respect to Rocket Raccoon, taken from the internet, a fictional superhero appears in comic books published by Marvel Comics, created by writer Bill Mantlo and artist Keith Giffen. Mm-hmm. The character first appeared in Marvel Preview number 7 back in the summer of 1976. Yes, America was celebrating its bicentennial. I had my edition of Captain America, the Bicentennial Years, and Rocket Raccoon made his debut, and I remember it as much as I remember Howard the Duck, which will be an interesting challenge. An intelligent anthropomorphic raccoon who is an expert marksman and master tactician. That, Ed, is Rocket Raccoon.
Exactly. And in the movie, he's voiced by Bradley Cooper, and he has a very large gun.
Yeah. You see, that's why we appreciate you, Tara, because many people will actually turn around and say, no, it's Peter Quill, it's Star-Lord, my favourite character. Oh, it's the tree, it's Vin Diesel's tree. But, you know, I sense the Rocket Raccoon bonding here. Yeah, but
totally.
Yeah.
I'm just slightly distracted, guys, at the moment by the kind of preview to the August edition of SFX, where you've got the Walking Dead coverage.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, not looking that good. They aren't.
Well, that's why they're the Walking Dead. They are zombies, Ed.
Indeed.
Yeah, that's the important thing.
And can you also answer me this question, either of you? This is page 46. Mm-hmm. That is Peter Capaldi, isn't it? I'm showing you it now.
You're quite right. That's Peter Capaldi.
Capaldi. See, yeah. I am learning.
Or the Doctor.
I am learning. You see, there's progress there.
New Doctor, new danger.
And when does he start? Is it Christmas? Does he start at Christmas?
August 23rd, Ed.
Right, okay, so before Christmas.
In a few weeks' time, the Doctor will be emerging. But no flirting this time around. I've skillfully avoided the observation that I know would have happened, that if Marvel had any sense, they would have given you a one-to-one opportunity to ask the question to the Marvel team of Ant-Man with Edgar Wright. But I mean, only you, Tara, could have actually got an answer to that. But I gather they actually put a D notice and said, no, we can't have any questions about where Edgar's actually gone.
No, I talked to Paul Rudd, and we did get the question in where we asked, if he still wanted to be in it, with all of the controversy of Edgar not being director anymore. And he said, it was a little, it was disconcerting, but he really does like the script, that the basically Joe Wright and Edgar's script is still there in its framework. They've just added a lot more material, and that's why he decided, that he still felt like he wanted to be part of it, because he loves Edgar, he loves his work, and he still feels like the spirit of what he wanted to do is there. But just with some changes. So that's interesting. We'll see. Because, Paul easily could have backed out too. So he might say something that he still stick with it.
I'll quote from David M. Tuggle. Surely a made-up name. No, he submitted a letter to SFX magazine, so he's probably real. And he writes, "My thoughts on Edgar Wright, of course. He has been attached, in inverted commas, to this movie since 2006. 2006? 7 years, dude. Yeah. What the hell have you been doing the past 7 years that you couldn't have made this movie already at least three times over? It's time to get off the pot, if you know what I mean. If he hasn't made it by now, he never will. And now, as it turns out, he never will. Someone else will bring their vision to the screen. He had ample opportunity to do his job, and he failed. So sorry. Bye-bye."
There you go. It happens a lot of time. Guillermo del Toro was supposed to do the Hobbit movies, and that was years, and he moved to New Zealand, and it didn't happen. So sometimes these things, maybe sometimes better things come from it.
A bit like life. He's trying, of course, at present to raise the capital for Hellboy 3. One day, I'm sure it'll happen. Yeah, we'll be there.
That would be nice.
Now, we've been building up, Tara, to a newbie who's joining us in a few moments from the West Coast as well. Oh, yeah, another newbie, etc. I suspect you might be too young to remember this series, but let's launch this particular theme once again with those opening words.
Works for me.
Do you remember Fred Dreyer coming out?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yes, what? Spencer, I love
exactly.
Works for me.
That was Stephanie Kramer is joining us in around about 9 or 10 minutes from now. So,
please give her my love. I loved her relationship with Hunter on that show. The two of them were so feisty and awesome, and I totally wanted them to get together. And I watch that show every week, so I'm a huge fan.
Well, you see, it just seems as though we've bonded with our North American collegiate. Cameron Tilbury from Nashville, clearly sort of blown away by Stephanie. And Tara Bennett as well, Hunter. In fact, maybe we should actually work on a screenplay, Tara, where we could actually have Dee Dee McCall appearing with Rocket Raccoon in a kind of...
Oh, my God.
Yeah?
I'm having a moment just thinking about how much that would be awesome, because the two of them kick butt like nobody's business.
Exactly.
Please pitch that to her. Yeah, Tell her that I'm out here. I can help make that happen now. If it needs to happen, I'm behind it. Yeah.
And that, Ed, is one of the magical things of the Midweek Drive, which, of course, you missed over the last few weeks, but bonding it together, I think that's tremendous stuff. Tara, will you be making it to Worldcon, or will you be a case of, no, I can only do certain trips to London, and I need to stay on the West Coast?
Well, for right now, I am, just because I'm finishing another book project, and I have a lot of turnaround for that in August, but I do hope to be in your lovely, lovely country, hopefully by January. So.
Oh, so we should look to get you from the west coast of England, Bath, over to the east coast and Lincoln. That's the critical side of things.
I will do that. I will make space for that. That would be fun.
I think it would be fantastic. It would be joyous in every sense of the word. Ed, last two questions for Tara Bennett, please.
Tara, have you had a reasonably... or indeed very enjoyable telephonic link with us today on the show?
Oh, it was very, very, very enjoyable. Thank you.
We thank you. And can we look forward to connecting with you, well, if not in Lincoln...
In the very near future.
In the future. On the current phone? In the
time-space continuum that we call
Planet Earth.
Connect
with you somehow, some way.
Yeah.
Yes, please. Anytime you'll have me. Thank you.
Thank you.